Welcome to the What I Learned in History class podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Mata.
And I'm your co-host, Sophia Blanco.
Today, we will be discussing the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was a very long war, starting in 1954 and ending in 1975.
Wow, 21 years, that's a very long time. Before we discuss the war itself, let's discuss the background of this event. France controlled Vietnam during World War II, but when they saw Germany was trying to invade France, they had to evacuate from the French Indochina, causing Japan to take over Indochina.
However, when Japan was being attacked by the United States, they had to leave Indochina, which sparked the Geneva Conference of 1954. The Geneva Conference was the discussion alluding to the French agreeing to withdraw their troops from North Vietnam, and by doing so, Vietnam would be temporarily divided at the 17th parallel. The objective of the 17th parallel was to have a communist government in the north and a democratic government in the south. The United States was in support of the democratic government in the south and were completely against any acts of communism.
Furthermore, the U.S. supported the south because Diem was anti-communist. Although he was still a bad man, he wasn't communist, so this made him the better pick. Don't you think, Sydney?
Yes, definitely.
There was a date for an election to be held so that Vietnam could be reunited, but Diem backed out because he thought that the communist side would win. North Vietnam grew angry and invaded the South, leaving them in poor condition. This caused Eisenhower to send troops and financial aid to the South. This is how the U.S. joined the Vietnam War.
Soon after the U.S. joined the war, JFK came into office and continued Eisenhower's policy, set in Vietnam and continuing the alliance the U.S. had with the South. John F. Kennedy helped the South by increasing the military advisors to 16,000. One of the last things JFK did in the war was approving the assassination of Diem and his brother on November 2nd, which is ironic, but unrelated, because 3 weeks later, JFK was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. This led to Lyndon B. Johnson becoming president. A good way to learn more about the occurrence and effects of JFK's assassination can be shown in the film called JFK that was made in 1991, creating a real-life visual perspective of the president's assassination and all the people that were highlighted.
After his assassination, his vice president, Lyndon B. Johnson, continued the work that Kennedy had started. For example, he had raised the number of South Vietnam deployments to 23,000 U.S. soldiers by the end of his first year in office. Johnson remembers Truman's loss of China, which led to the reviving of the domino theory, which was the fear that if communism took place in Vietnam, it would spread to democracies throughout Southeast Asia, where the United States had an alliance. The domino theory ultimately increased American military involvement in the Vietnam War.
During this war, the incident in the Gulf of Tonkin in 1964 took place. I say incident because there were many theories that the Gulf of Tonkin was just an accident because the claims of being under attack were later thought to be just weather issues. But this didn't stop Johnson, as he continued his retaliation leading to the ground and air war, which happened at the same time.
The ground war took place in the south while the air war took place in the north. Typically, wars are about gaining territory, but that wasn't the case of the ground war from 1965 to 1968. This was a time of fighting in jungles and swampy areas. The Ho Chi Minh Trail was a major contributor to North Vietnam and Southern sympathizers. It was a very fast route that sent supplies and troops to the South in just 1 week, giving a disadvantage to the U.S.
Similar to the South's ground battle, the North air battle also grew in size and devastation, but lacked direction. As a part of Operation Rolling Thunder, an air combat was conducted over North Vietnam's airspace during the conflict there. The United States dropped more bombs on North Vietnam by the end of 1966 than it did on Japan during World War II. In particular, located in Cedar Falls and Junction City were two large-scale operations that involved up to 1,000 U.S. troops and supported by hundreds of airstrikes from helicopters and fighter bombers that were carried out in the provinces immediately north and east of Saigon to destroy communist supply lines and base locations. The air war connects to what Sophia was saying because the supplies and troops the North was sending to the South were being carefully watched in the air by U.S. forces so that they would bomb them anytime Vietnamese trucks were spotted on the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
In 1968, Nixon became the last president to take office during the Vietnam War, promising to end the war, appealing to the silent majority. The agreement for ending the war and restoring peace in Vietnam, announced by President Nixon, was signed on January 27, 1973, by officials of the North Vietnamese, South Vietnamese, and American governments. The South Vietnamese would have the freedom to choose their own destiny, an international army would maintain peace, and North Vietnamese forces could stay in the South without being reinforced. The border would stay at the 17th parallel until the nation could be brought back together by peaceful means.
This week educated Sophia and I over the second longest war in the United States history, the Vietnam War, thanks to our teacher, Mr. Sanders, who will be answering a few questions we have. How do you think the war would have been affected if the domino effect that President Kennedy feared took place in Vietnam?
What do you think would have been different if JFK wasn't assassinated and none of LBJ's contributions happened?
Hi, Sophia. Hi, Sydney. It's always tough to play those games of what if, but let's try to think about your first question for a moment, the domino effect. As you learned in class, the domino effect was the belief common in the 1950s and 60s that if one country fell to communism, others in the nearby area would also become communist. And that really drove American international relations through much of the two decades of the 50s and 60s. So I don't know if you can really question what would have happened if the domino effect hadn't been the dominant thought at that time period. It drove American foreign policy. It's what sent troops to many countries throughout both the Asian area and also Europe. It was something that started with Eisenhower, continued certainly with the presidencies of Kennedy and Johnson, and it really did serve as one of the motivating factors behind America sending hundreds of thousands of troops into Vietnam. Secondly, again, with the what if game, you know, what would have happened if JFK hadn't been assassinated? There's no question in my mind that LBJ was a much harder line president in terms of having a force in Vietnam than JFK was. LBJ had made many trips back and forth to Vietnam. Was just more of a hawk than Kennedy. Kennedy by no means was a dove when it came to foreign affairs, but you know, if you look at what happened in Cuba with both the Bay of Pigs and then later the Cuban Missile Crisis, he was not someone who believed in sending troops, if he could avoid it, into foreign battle. LBJ probably was just a slightly different mindset and more someone willing to send troops into warfare. So we don't really know what would happen if JFK had not been killed that day up in Dallas and actually continued to shape American policy in Vietnam. All we know is that the Vietnam War would continue for about another decade after Kennedy's assassination.
I hope you've enjoyed learning just as much as we did. Thank you for listening to our What I Learned in History Class podcast. We'll be right back.